WTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Hey, we thank you for joining us for Crosstalk. Friday brings the news roundup and comments. We will be opening up the telephone lines later this hour to allow just that, for you to comment on what you are hearing, what we are sharing here today, what you're hearing not only on this network through the VCY America radio network, but on your newspapers, on your social media. And friends, it has been one of the heaviest weeks, really, truly, our nation has seen in a long, long time. Many would say possibly if ever, with so many things unfolding. But we'll do our best to bring you these headlines and God willing, get you to the telephones and hear from you. This is Dalton Windsor in for Jim Schneider today. And, well, many of us know how things have been unfolding this week. And before we would grab just the story off the top of the very big pile of headlines here that Sandy has compiled this week, we want to go back to some audio that we captured back in July. In fact, what are we looking at? Something of 49, 50 days ago. And that's not very long, really, when you look at it, how quickly time does go. But we want to go back to early July, July the 8th, to be exact, 2021, when Joe Biden told the nation that all was pretty much well in Afghanistan.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not. Because you have the Afghan troops at 300,000. Well-equipped as any army in the world, and an Air Force, against something like 75,000 Taliban. It is not inevitable.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
Can you please clarify what they have told you about whether that will happen or not?
That is not true. They did not reach that conclusion.
So what is the level of confidence that they have that it will not collapse?
The Afghan government and leadership has to come together. They clearly have the capacity to sustain the government in place.
And do you see any parallels between this withdrawal and what happened in Vietnam with some people feeling...
None whatsoever. Zero. What you had is you had entire brigades breaking through the gates of our embassy. Six, if I'm not mistaken. The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of an embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comparable. So the question now is, where do they go from here? That the jury is still out. But the likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely.
Friends, that was July the 8th as Joe Biden addressed the nation at that press conference. And, well, you just heard that, and that may be a reminder for some of what we were first being told. And somewhat of a timeline of just this past week. Friends, we could not cover just the past couple of days in this time we are allotted for today's Crosstalk. We could not cover just the last 24 hours, to be truthful with you. But we'll go back to just this week and give somewhat of a timeline, if you will. And we go back to Tuesday, Town Hall reporting Joe Biden caves to the Taliban. The Pentagon having little to say about the news that the Biden administration had failed in its humiliating attempt to grovel before the Taliban in order to extend the August 31st deadline for the withdrawal, and instead doubled down on plans to be out of the country by the deadline. That deadline now that would commence this coming Tuesday, Major General Hank Taylor reports, quote, there's been no change to the timeline of the mission, which is to have this completed by the end of the month, end of quote. That from Major General Hank Taylor, and also Press Secretary John Kirby. He says, we are getting them out every day, he added, of Americans seeking to evacuate Kabul. Now, that was back on Tuesday. And then the lion's share of what is most heartbreaking for all of us, no one looking for sarcastic comments, no one looking should be necessarily blame-shifting right this very point, though that is easy to do, apparently, according to what so many are seeing and the reports that we have. But now we have the headline from yesterday morning, WorldNet Daily, the headline, 13 U.S. troops killed in suicide attack at the Kabul airport. At least 13 U.S. military service members were killed and another 14 were wounded. That was yesterday's numbers. That now up to a new number of 18 were wounded in a suicide bombing Thursday outside a gate at Kabul's international airport. Clearly a coordinated attack that included a second bombing nearby. 11 of the casualties were Marines, and one was a Navy medic. That according to Fox News. They noted the deaths were the first among U.S. troops in Afghanistan since February of 2020 and the most deadly attack on Americans in a decade. At least 60 people were killed and 140 others wounded in the explosions at the Abbey Gate at the Kabul airport and outside the nearby Baron Hotel where Americans were gathering for rescue operations. It was reported that last week, 169 Americans were rescued at the hotel by U.S. helicopters. ISIS, or ISIS-K, has now taken responsibility for the attacks. More than hours later, hours after the attacks, President Biden addressed the nation and did take questions from reporters. They asked Biden, Fox News reporter Peter Ducey asked Biden, if having declared the buck stops with me, he bears any responsibility for the first American military deaths since February of 2020 and the way that things have unfolded in the last 2 weeks. Joe Biden said, I bear responsibility for fundamentally all that's happened of late. But then, the article goes on to say, however, Biden then went on to blame President Trump. Now, I don't see how we can do this. Joe, you bear responsibility for all that has happened, but then blames former President Trump just moments later. He said, you know, I wish you'd one day say these things. You know as well as I do that a former president made a deal with the Taliban to get all American forces out of Afghanistan by May 1. Biden then acknowledged that no American had been attacked since February of 2020 because of the Trump agreement. So, and something that former Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany said, Joe Biden admits that Trump's deal resulted in no deaths of American troops for more than a year. And the ruling Taliban, which regards ISIS as a rival, has condemned the airport bombing, but blamed the U.S., saying it took place where American troops were in charge. Biden said further that the U.S. is keeping a close watch on any potential terrorist threat at or around the airport, including from the ISIS affiliates in Afghanistan who were released from prison when the prisons were emptied. The president noted in a Friday address that ISIS in Afghanistan is a sworn enemy of the Taliban. As we know, many are speaking out. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina urging the Biden administration to reopen the Bahram Air Base, saying the Kabul airport is very difficult to defend and has been the only evacuation outlet. Bahram, which was the largest U.S. base in Afghanistan, is about 25 miles north of the Kabul airport. We have the capability to reestablish our presence at Bahram to continue to evacuate American citizens and our Afghan allies, Graham said via his Twitter. He said, it is not a capability problem, but a problem of the will. Many others have spoken out. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri was among many Republican lawmakers who have called on Joe Biden to resign after Thursday's deadly attacks, saying, "To say that today's loss of American lives in Kabul is sickening does not begin to do justice to what has happened. It is enraging, and Joe Biden is responsible. It is now clear beyond all doubt that he has neither the capacity nor the will to lead. He must resign." Thursday, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki responded to the lawmakers calling for a Biden resignation. "We would," and Psaki said, "we would expect that any American, whether they are elected or not, would stand with us." And then earlier Thursday, a top Senate Democrat, New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, indicated Biden's Afghanistan evacuation strategy is wearing thin. That reported from the Washington Examiner. Friends, we all know both sides of the aisle would surely rather not be hearing these headlines. We certainly would much rather be sharing other headlines here today. But as it is, we bring this to you. We're coming up already on our first break of this first segment. Do want to mention something else. Well, several more. The ex-Trump aide lays out the Afghan withdrawal plan that Biden scrapped. The Biden administration ignored or jettisoned carefully designed plans to withdraw from Afghanistan, with the result being chaos and bedlam. This former national security official to President Donald Trump has said this, saying, "I don't even know that anyone could have made this awful scenario up." This from former National Security Council Senior Director Kash Patel, saying, "It's literally worse than you could possibly conjure. The Biden team has failed to prepare for evacuating American citizens and Afghans who helped the U.S. government," Patel said, "and has allowed other important issues to founder. There's no plan to secure our weaponry or machinery. We're just giving it to terrorists. And there's no plan to secure a Kabul International Airport so that at least flights can get in and out. Careful plans, though, already laid out by the Trump administration, were offered to Team Biden. The overarching theme was a conditions-based withdrawal whereby the U.S. military would leave Afghanistan in increments if the Taliban met clear conditions," that according to Patel. "The Trump plan, including retaining control of the Bagram Air Base until all Americans were withdrawn from Afghanistan, a large sprawling site, Bagram has multiple airfields and other facilities that safely can handle significant amounts of traffic and also host a large population." Patel said, "We would not have ever relinquished control of the Bagram airfield because that is our command and control node for the entire region. And that's where we would fly in and out of securely." Again, that from just the news within the past 24 hours. There is plenty more. There are several on this stack of headlines that we do our best to bring you on a News Roundup Friday, such as this. Do stand by with us as we will be opening the phone lines to hear from you across the country when Crosstalk continues. Stand by.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what caused the Ice Age?
Chris, as near as we can tell, the Ice Age came after the flood, kind of an after effect of the flood caused by the flood itself. The primary cause of the Ice Age was that snow accumulated in vast quantities and did not melt, as it piled up and turned into ice and began to flow as glaciers. The real need for enhanced snowfall was more evaporation from the ocean waters, and this would have happened if the ocean waters were warmer. We see from Scripture that the fountains of the great deep brought up superheated waters from deep inside the earth. I suspect that the flood waters were significantly warmer than today. This evaporation provided the raw material for the Ice Age. Even though the Ice Age isn't mentioned by name in Scripture, it is intimated. Even the Ice Age goes back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Thank you.
This is Crosstalk on the BCY America Radio Network. On with additional headlines, the National Review reporting that U.S. troops on the ground in Kabul are turning away from the airport some Afghan collaborators and interpreters who supported America during its two-decade occupation of the territory. Now, these personnel are being temporarily refused in order to give priority to U.S. citizens and green card holders. This from an anonymous State Department official that told the New York Times this back on Monday. American veterans organizations working to expedite evacuations for Afghan allies who served in the war effort and some Afghans who have attempted to access the airport confirmed this the official's account. It is not certain how many qualified special immigrant visa recipients have been dismissed. Amid reports that Taliban operatives have been going door to door hunting down its former enemies, many Afghan allies are desperate to flee the country. And several headlines we have here today talking about who's getting out, who's trying to get out, who should be there, who should not be there, such as, what a mess, because, you know, there's so many, and with yesterday's suicide bombing, how do you know who's who, and who's there for the right reasons, whatever the case may be? How many Americans are there? Just speaking on behalf of, you know, we're just curious about our own here. Yes, there's the human race, all of us, we understand that, but just for the sake of talking about Americans, well, back on Wednesday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken announced that there are only roughly 500 Americans remaining in Afghanistan who wish to be evacuated. Now, this was Wednesday. He noted that out of 6,000 U.S. citizens who stated that they wanted to leave as of August 14, when the evacuation effort began, 4,500 U.S. passport holders were rescued, leaving 1,500 people, approximately 500 of whom are still actively looking for passage out. The numbers that Blinken cited do not include those in possession of a U.S. green card. This reporters confirmed at the press conference. The State Department is trying to ascertain the status of about 1,000 U.S. citizens who have not contacted the U.S. government explicitly requesting evacuation. Maybe you've heard about this week. U.S. officials handed over names of American citizens, Afghan allies, to the Taliban. This from the Washington Free Beacon. U.S. officials in Afghanistan offered the names of American citizens and Afghans who assisted the United States in hopes the terrorist group would help them evacuate the country. Congressional sources confirmed to Politico that diplomats in communication with the Taliban gave the terrorist group a role of citizens and Afghan allies such as translators as the group took control of Kabul, including the airport. One defense official quoted in the Politico report called the Biden administration's decision to share the names with the Taliban, quote, appalling, end of quote. They said basically they just put all those Afghans on a kill list. Some disagree with that, but prove that statement wrong. Well, maybe here's some help. Singapore offering the United States help with evacuation earlier this week. Nope, that was rejected. Now, we would think that as the United States, we would have the means to take care of things ourselves, and I believe that we do. But Singapore offering the U.S. several military transport planes to help with the Afghanistan evacuation, but this offer was brushed aside by the Vice President, Kamala Harris. She rejected it, saying, right now our focus has to be on evacuating American citizens, Afghans who worked with us, and vulnerable Afghans. Here from the Washington Examiner, as hundreds of Afghans fight to get into Kabul's airport to flee the country, a group of veterans thousands of miles away is working to help secure the safety of their former translators. A person named Hannah Romer, a veteran and mother of two, is among a group of five people, including her husband, who is active duty in the Marine Corps, racing to rescue three Afghan translators and their families from the Taliban-controlled country. Her husband is currently stationed in Monterey, California. The others are spread across the country in L.A., Mississippi, and Texas. Romer, an Iraq war veteran, and the others, who are all veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, have had many sleepless nights as they make phone calls, send emails, and try to work every source they have from their time in the military. And through their efforts, they have been able to extricate one translator and his cousin, but they are desperately working to get the others, including one family with four small children, out of Kabul. Here is one from the Western Journal. The government agency responsible for defense contractors is telling its personnel to wash their hands as much as possible, not for fear of germs, but of any official involvement with friends and former colleagues who are stuck in Afghanistan. In an internal defense contract management agency email reported by the Daily Caller, the agency made it clear it couldn't do anything for these quote, unlucky souls, and that the contractor should say so. If any Afghanistan national contacts a DCMA employee for assistance with asylum, the employee should in no way suggest or represent that the individual or DCMA is in a position to help, the email stated. The employee should only inform the Afghanistan national that the State Department is the appropriate organization to contact. Well, some here at home in the States weighing in on what need be done. Many waiting to hear what AOC has to say. In an interview with The Independent, Ocasio-Cortez urged Joe Biden to set a floor of 200,000 visas for Afghans to be evacuated from Afghanistan and brought to the U.S. for permanent resettlement and U.S. citizenship. That would be nearly 5% of the Afghan population. Article says we have no way of vetting them. It's not possible. This from The Independent Sentinel. Ocasio-Cortez said, I believe we need to move and the administration needs to move as quickly as possible and as expansively as possible, ensuring that we are raising the amount of refugee visas to whatever amount is necessary. Obviously, the loss of life is the most tragic of all things. One would be too many. We all agree on that. Everyone agrees on that. The loss of one U.S. troop, one U.S. soldier is too much. It's a great loss. But there has been much said, much printed, much ink spilled about what about all of the weaponry, the U.S. weaponry that we have lost. And then we'll begin to get ready to open up the phone lines here. But what about those things? What's happening to the 75,000 vehicles, the 600,000 weapons, 208 airplanes and helicopters in Afghanistan? What will happen with all of this? Well, Just the News is reporting, we've made the Taliban into a major U.S. arms dealer for the next decade. This from Adam Andrzejewski. They now control 75,000 military vehicles. 75,000 military vehicles. How many vehicles are parked at your house right now? Couple, two or three? 75,000 military vehicles. This is about 50,000 tactical vehicles, 20,000 Humvees. They control about 1,000 mine-resistant vehicles and even about 150 armored personnel carriers. In total, the U.S. government spent an estimated $83 billion, that's billion with a B, a big B, $83 billion of taxpayer funds on weapons, vehicles, and airplanes for the Afghan military. Many are saying that we've simply handed this over. Not to mention, and it falls far short of the cost of one American life. But that's what we're hearing. CNN shift gears here one more time. Talking of the Afghan refugees, Airbnb has pledged to provide free housing for 20,000 Afghan refugees. Earlier this week, CEO Brian Chesky, the program would begin immediately and that Airbnb would pay for the stays. The displacement and resettlement of Afghan refugees in the U.S. and elsewhere is one of the biggest humanitarian crises of our time. We feel a responsibility to step up. That from Chesky in a series of posts on Twitter. Chesky did not say how long refugees would be housed or how long the company would fund their stays. Some positive news, if anything positive can come out of this. And spiritually speaking, we think of Romans 8. We go to Romans 8 and verse 28, how all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purposes. We look for good things to come from bad. And, well, we understand that spiritually speaking, we look for any kind of good to come from so much bad. Here's some positive, if we can find some positive. There are those working to raise funds to help rescue Christians. And of all people, not in any way saying he wouldn't do this, radio host Glenn Beck and an organization he has founded has raised $30 million to rescue Christians and others at risk in Afghanistan from the Taliban. So far, more than 1,000 people have been flown out of Kabul. The organization, the Nazarene Fund, founded by Beck to rescue Christians and other persecuted religious and ethnic minorities worldwide. Its mission in Afghanistan is its biggest operation yet. CEO Tim Ballard of the Nazarene Fund said three airplanes funded by Nazarene donors had taken off from Kabul's airport, each loaded with approximately 340 people. Well, we praise the Lord for that. Something positive, something, and obviously, how are they raising that money? Well, concerned people, listeners to Mr. Beck, those that are just wanting to do, whom of us wouldn't do whatever we could to help rescue these innocent lives and all the so many lives that are being affected. Give you a phone number. Jot this down as we will open the phone lines and begin to hear from you on the other side of our break here. When you go to the phones for your comments at 1-800-733-9829, part of Friday News Roundup is the comment where we want to hear from you. We've already covered many headlines. And friends, yes, we are seeing fighting and wars and rumors of wars and all of these things abroad and even here. What about the war we're presently facing here on American soil, war with the coronavirus? There's more headlines. We've not even began to cover some of the stories of this week's the issue of the FDA approving a vaccine within these past several days, and where are we going with that? And I'm quite sure many of you would have an opinion. We all do at this point after, a year and a half of battling a virus and now the variant. So we'll cover those stories and then hear from you. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Crosstalk will continue. Stay with us. More now than at any other time in our nation's history, we are deluged in all forms of media. Television, radio, video games, social media, smartphones, iPads, iPod, computers, Blu-ray, and a myriad of other offerings. Along with all of this exposure comes the key question: how do I safeguard myself and family from that which is inappropriate? In the book, Biblical Filters for Your Media Choices, author Joe Schlero presents 10 biblical filters a Christian must consider before engaging in the media. This 50-page booklet presents a biblical filter derived from scriptural principles. VCY America is offering one copy of the booklet for a donation of $7 or get 5 copies for a donation of $30. Call 1-800-729-9829 and ask for Biblical Filters for Your Media Choices. This is Crosstalk on the BCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider, this is Dalton Windsor. David is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. David, thank you for calling. You are on the air.
Hi, Dalton. First, the scripture and then a little comment. With all that's going on, we want to keep the main thing, and keep our affections on things above.
Amen.
Not on things on this earth. And yet, for prayer purposes, now I was up at the BCY Day of Prayer, which was outstanding. They used ACTS, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. So that's a model that saints can use. And we can see some of these things turned around. We've been praying, people that pray out there, they can be praying for the saints and missionaries in Afghanistan around the airport. We can deploy, I'm a veteran, we can deploy military, we can deploy legions of angels to aid these people, and I believe we can pray for a turnaround.
Yes.
And pray for the Afghan vets. There's a lot of military personnel that served over there, and many of them aren't saved, but we pray for salvation.
Yes.
And we also pray some of them are angry and even suicidal. And then finally, up at Toma Baptist Church, a lot of these refugees are going to be coming into Fort McCoy. So that's a key strategy, too, that believers in that area, and there's Toma Baptist Church up there and other Christians, be praying that, you know, what was meant for evil or even a lot of these people coming in with terrible motives, that they would get saved.
Yes.
So be encouraged out there. Be encouraged today, even with all of this junk. And I hate to hear about all this military armory being turned over. But I pray that it falls apart. I pray that
yes.
it can't be parts. And I pray a mantle of confusion. Just the Psalms is full of imprecatory prayers that David prayed against his enemy. Thank you, Dalton.
All right. Thank you, David. Thank you for your service to our nation and obviously for the reminder. And kind of like we alluded to before the break, you know, for Christians and we that are in Christ, we think of Romans chapter 8. We think of all things working together for good. We think of the opportunities that can come from this. Still, there is that balance of trying to balance this righteous indignation where we see so many things going the wrong direction. And it does force us to pray. And as some of the great preachers of old, like Charles Spurgeon, has said, anything that makes us pray is a good thing. David, again, thank you for your call. Let's go to Franco. He is in Grand Marsh, Wisconsin. Franco, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I just want to make a couple comments, Dad. I truly believe in my heart that the people that gave the Taliban the American, that list of Americans and Afghanis' names, you couldn't ask for a more open and closed case of treason. And I'm starting to suspect that days before this evacuation from Afghanistan started, truly wondering if the president and his boys cut a deal with the Taliban and said, look, if we leave you all these weapons at that air base, I believe it's called Abgran or...
Bahram
Air Base?
Mm-hmm.
All these weapons... And we'll leave you to airbase, Dad. Just let us evacuate peacefully. God bless.
All right, Franco, thank you for your call. And his call reminds me as well to tell you that if you are awaiting to get on the air, you got on the phone with our call screener, please turn your radio down when you're waiting for us to come to you, because otherwise that causes some of that feedback that you're hearing as Franco was talking there. But Franco, thank you for your comments. And the telephone number is 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. And, you know, it's easy for all of us to speculate what could have happened, who said this, who did this. Here's a headline this week from Newsmax. In fact, this one just yesterday. A spokesman, a Taliban chief spokesman, Mujahid, says that his group wants to forget what happened in the past, quote, forget what happened in the past, and instead focus on rebuilding Afghanistan, and rejected fears that the group wants to impose the same harsh rules that were in play when it ruled the country two decades ago. Mujahid says, we want to build the future. Mujahid is widely expected to become the new government's Minister of Information and Culture. Telling the New York Times in his first Western media sit-down interview since the Taliban seized control of Afghanistan earlier this month. He denied that the Taliban is seeking out former interpreters and other people who worked for the American military and against them, and he insisted that the controls that had been placed on women 20 years ago will not be reinstated. Remember him saying that. Let's all remember that being said. But the interview came a day after he'd warned Afghan women to remain home because many Taliban fighters have not been trained on not to abuse them. Oh, how nice. Will the Taliban turn over a new leaf? That's really what this is coming. This interview is saying. Many of the changes in Afghan society in the years since the Taliban was in charge involve women who became free to leave their homes unaccompanied, wear what they want, and return to work and school. The Taliban turning over a new leaf. Well, we'll see what happens there. Let's go to Salina, Kansas. Justin is standing by. Justin, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Dalton. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for all your hard work. My comment on the Afghanistan situation is I'm a former Air Force firefighter, and I have friends who are contract firefighters in Baghdad and in Afghanistan. And we need to be praying, but we need to be calling our senators and representatives. If they literally abandon those contractors and leave them to their deaths, we got to let our government know we cannot tolerate that. And that's my comment, and I'll take your comment off air. Thank you.
Okay, well, I totally agree, Justin. Thank you, Salina, Kansas. I thank you for listening there. And many, I would assume, would say amen to what you just called in with. 1-800-733-9829. We're going to begin to cover a couple more headlines here. I know a couple of you are waiting to make a comment on the on this happening in Afghanistan, but we do want to mention where we are as well this week with the FDA granting vaccine approval. Want to get to that here shortly, but one more headline talking of the Taliban. And the Western Journal saying the humiliation never stops under Joe Biden. As you may have heard about this one earlier this week, the Taliban, who we just read, wants to turn over a new leaf, right? Well, apparently earlier this week they were mocking the United States and the sacrifices that were paid by our troops. They were wearing U.S. Troop uniforms. And the Western Journal saying an elite squad of Taliban fighters with captured American military uniforms took the opportunity to do a little photo shoot of their own. And Fox News reported that the little-known Badri 313 Battalion had been highlighted in Taliban propaganda material sporting the American gear. The photo that has received the most attention shows a team of fighters raising the Taliban flag in apparent recreation of the historic photo of six Marines who were raising the American flag on Mount Suribachi during the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II. Taliban fighters mocking U.S. Marines. That was earlier this week. I believe we first began hearing about this last weekend. Steve is in Tennessee. Steve, thank you for your call on Crosstalk.
Yeah, I was a contractor, and there's a couple things I make it brief.
Can I ask you to turn your radio down, please? Please, Steve, if you turn your radio down.
Okay, my radio's down. Can you hear me
okay.
now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry if my voice has changed. I'm a former contractor from Afghanistan, and the problem is they have no national pride. What they have is tribalism.
Tribalism?
Okay, there we go. Is this better?
Much better. Yes, thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. What they have is a tribalism mentality. Sort of like they're loyal to their region. And what's not being talked about is when we were over there and we were paying off the Taliban to protect our convoys, we'd pay off one Taliban group to protect us from being attacked from another Taliban group. And then a few months later, guess what? The group that we were being protected from is now protecting us from the group that we were paying a few months prior. this is something that's not being discussed. Our, the problem is not the boots, it's the suits in the Pentagon. The last caller is right. These people at the highest level in the Pentagon are traitors, not the contractors like myself and the other boots on the ground. And the problem, again, is our government, if they're not going to protect us and our troops in Afghanistan, civilians, and there's nothing they can do, what will happen if we get attacked by China, Russia, or both? Because Saudi Arabia has recently, Google this, has signed a military pact with Saudi Arabia. The number of top purchaser of weapons, and they did this right outside of Weapons Expo in Russia in the recent week. So this we've already got allies that are abandoning us. And as far as the Taliban, they are taught to lie to the infidel.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
They cannot turn a new leaf when they're talking about Sharia law. Okay? It's what, and I'll end it with this comment. What defines any person on this planet is not what we say, but what we do. And the Bible clearly says that. Faith without works is dead. The Taliban is defined by not their rhetoric, but their actions. Thank you, and God bless.
Steve in Tennessee, thank you for your phone call, and I'm reminded of the scripture and that we would know them by their fruits. We're coming up against a break here. Wanted to hit this one before we do. Shifting gears again, talk about the war that's on the ground here in America, and we've got the war abroad and the ground war here with the coronavirus. Well, the Food and Drug Administration this week granting full approval to Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for individuals 16 years of age and older. The FDA's approval of the vaccine is a milestone, this says, as we continue to battle the COVID-19 pandemic. Acting FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock said in a statement issued Monday, while this and other vaccines have met the FDA's rigorous scientific standards for emergency use authorization as the first FDA-approved COVID-19 vaccine, the public can be very confident that this vaccine meets the high standards for safety, effectiveness, and manufacturing quality the FDA requires of an approved product. Now, that was back on Monday, and then just a couple of days later, we get a headline saying, stunner, experts saying the FDA-approved Pfizer shot is not what people have been getting up to this point. Very troubling news. In a much trumpeted announcement that you just heard from the FDA that it was approving for general use of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, well, apparently, Americans have been getting Pfizer shots for months already. We know about that under this emergency use authorization. But an expert in the field says what reports have failed to include is that the vaccine approved by the FDA is not the same as the one that's already been in use. You've heard the statement, friends, we can't make this stuff up. We'll hit on this one more time and then come back with your phone calls when Crosstalk continues. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The other day I had a conversation with a man that is the leader of an organization that has missionaries in Afghanistan. I asked him if he'd be willing to come on the radio with me, and of course he was not, and he didn't want me to use his name or the organization name, and that's completely understandable. He is very, very afraid for the lives of his ministry workers in Afghanistan. I did, however, ask him if he could verify that these individuals are in hiding. He said they are, and yes, the reports are true. The Taliban is going door to door looking for Americans and looking for Christians. He verified this report to be true. He called on you through this broadcast and this commentary to pray for the Americans and the missionaries caught in Afghanistan. The number is anywhere from 10,000 to 15,000 or more American souls. Pray for our Americans and the Afghans today.
Already into our final segments, briefly just to go back to what we were talking about before we went to break. Experts saying the FDA-approved Pfizer shot is not what people have been getting up until this point. And experts in the field saying what reports have failed to include is that the vaccine approved by the FDA is not the same one as the one that's already been in use. It is Dr. Robert Malone who said during an interview that the vaccines are similar but not the same. Malone explains the little trick that they've done here is that they've issued two letters, separate letters for two separate vaccines. The Pfizer vaccine, which is what is currently available, is still under emergency use authorization, and it still has the liability shield. He said the product that's licensed is the BioNTech product, which is substantially similar but not necessarily identical. It's called Comirnaty. Comirnaty. And it's not yet available. They haven't started manufacturing it or labeling it, and that's the one that the liability waiver will no longer apply. You may recognize or remember that name, Malone, the inventor of the mRNA technology behind the COVID-19 vaccine. Brad is in West Allis, Wisconsin. Brad, thank you for the call. You're on Crosstalk.
I got to tell you, I'm not in favor of them Afghans coming here, particularly since while they want to bring them over here, U.S. citizens are still in Afghanistan in danger. And part of the, oh, by the way, the caller was who spoke briefly of Fort McCoy refugees and praying for their conversion to Christ, part of the refugee resettlement agreement is no evangelizing the refugees. Otherwise, you don't get paid. Hmm. So much for that lie. I tell you this, leaving U.S. citizens and military equipment behind was on purpose. That didn't have to happen. Even the Democrats aren't that stupid. And Biden's plan, if you want to call it that, wait until the last minute and have our personnel jump out the window and run away naked, leaving our citizens over there. This is a real cluster flop, and it has nothing to do with President Trump. He had a decent plan to get us out of there, and this thing in the White House bollocks the thing up for us.
Brad, thank you for your phone call. It sounds like you believe that they know exactly what they're doing.
Yes, they do. I think they want to. This is the kind of people they want to replace us with. They're giving us the vaccine, the fake vaccine. Do you think they're going to give it to them or to the illegal aliens coming across the southern border? I don't think so. I haven't heard a peep about it.
All right, Brad, thank you for your call. Courtney is in Miami, Florida. Courtney, thanks for calling Crosstalk.
God bless you.
Thank you,
Brad. You said it right. Saints, keep your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars. All this, do you think they're going to leave all that equipment over there and some of them not slip into the borders through Mexico? Keep watch your children, bring them up in the Word, keep your faith in Jesus, because there are lying spirits.
Yeah.
In that White House, you see what is. They say one thing and they do another. Do you think God, with us funding abortions, killing babies, unborn babies, teaching kids in school to hate each other by race, having sodomites on radio now, on television now, on one show, they're going to have two women dancing with each other. I don't even have a television. I don't want to see that mess. But keep your faith in Jesus Christ, because things are going to get worse and worse. The Bible says so. And endure to the end. Raise your children that way in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
God bless you all now.
All right. Thank you, Courtney. You as well. And we were told that in the last days, perilous times would come. And you think of anyone wondering if we have work to do? Listen to this survey, a new survey revealing shocking statistic about young Christians today. More than 60% of born-again Christians between the ages of 18 to 39 believe that Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad are all equal in regards to a path to salvation. Friends, that's a headline this week on CBN News. So saying that more than 60% of those born again, I would have to wonder if you can be born again believing that Jesus is the only, is not the only way to salvation. But that is another headline. Yes, Courtney, we still have much work to do. Quickly, from Albuquerque, New Mexico, Richard, if you go quick, we can get you on the air.
Yes, okay. I called about the shot. I saw yesterday on Daystar a doctor, a Jewish doctor, who has been working on this problem. His name is Vladimir Zelenko, MD.com. You can get a lot of information about it. He said that what they're saying, that this shot is approved. It's not approved. It has been extended to use the Emergency Act. It has not been approved. Don't take the shot. It will kill you.
All right. Thank you for your phone call. The Pentagon, another headline that we've not really been able to even touch today, the Associated Press reporting, the Pentagon saying U.S. troops must get their COVID-19 vaccines ASAP. Military troops must immediately begin to get the COVID-19 vaccine. This in a memo back on Wednesday, ordering service leaders to impose ambitious timelines for implementation. More than 800,000 service members have yet to get their shots. That according to Pentagon data. The Austin memo does not dictate a specific timeline for completing the vaccinations. What about those who don't want the shot? The headline says those service members who object will have the opportunity to meet with medical personnel and with their own leadership to ensure the troops understand the risk to themselves and their teammates if they don't take the vaccine. What about a risk if you do take the vaccine? No one seems to be able to elaborate on that. Alice is in Arkansas. Thank you for calling Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I go along so much with what the Bible says. Perilous times shall come. Romans 1 says inventors of evil things, many things, including this shot, which may kill millions and millions of people. But I want to give a hope, and the hope is really being born again. The Spirit of God will witness to our spirit that we are the children of God, quoted in Romans 8:16. You know what? People don't know the pleasure of walking close to Jesus, knowing his love, light, and his peace, which I have found when I became blind. I am legally blind.
But now you certainly see. Alice, we thank you for your call.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from BCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to BCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.